Cherise, thank you very much. Morning, everyone. My welcome, Cherise. Lovely to see everyone. Let's pray and then let's dive into Isaiah chapter 7. Heavenly Father, thank you for how exciting it is always to look at your word. And we pray you would teach us and thrill us with Jesus this morning. Amen. And now, I don't know if I warned anyone about this, but is the chat function working? Because I could do with some tips, because Nikki and I have we very foolishly gave all of our boys three names, which means that now that we're trying to come up with names again for a fifth boy, we're struggling a little bit and could do with any inspiration we can get. So if you could has anyone got any tips of good boys' names that we could put, that we could use for Quintus? If you want to put them into the chat, are we able to use the chat? Dennis, yes, Dennis. Dennis the Dentist Tompkins, I love it. Yes. Any other suggestion? Oh, my mum is shaking her head. I'm so sorry. If anyone's John. Oh, yep. John, solid choice. John Tompkins. Yeah. Any others? So that was from Anne. Anyone got any other suggestions?
Mark.
Oh, Mark. Yeah, Mark Tompkins. Yeah, that's. I feel like Mark Tompkins. You trust him, wouldn't you? Like, that's a good, reliable name.
Edward.
Edward, yeah, there are so many Edwards around at the moment, are there? William, Daniel, Joseph, Edward, Matthew, Tom Tompkins. I like Tom Tompkins. This is a little bit controversial because, yes, there are voices that say that Tom Tompkins doesn't sound quite right. I think that sounds brilliant. Okay.
Peter the Rock.
Sorry, Malcolm?
Peter the Rock.
Peter, yeah, my dad's called Peter, so maybe we could do that. Peter Tompkins, yeah, that would, well, maybe a middle name, yeah, that's excellent. We're gonna might put those in some of the maybe piles, but those are all excellent suggestions. I will see what Nikki makes of some of those later. The reason for asking is that, as Cherise said, we've got we're thinking about names, and in our passage this morning, Isaiah gives his children names that mean something really important. So in chapter 8, verse 16, he says, "Here am I, and the children the Lord has given me, were signs and symbols in Israel from the Lord Almighty who dwells on Mount Zion." And we're going to try and get through a big chunk of Isaiah this morning. So if you're a reader, it might really help to have Isaiah 7 and 8 open. We're going to try and do three mini talks on the three children that we meet in Isaiah 7 and 8. Matthew, were you going to come through and just give me a hand with this one? Because the first son that we need to meet, as Cherise said earlier, is called Shear Jashub. Shear Jashub has just walked into my study. Fantastic. There we are. He's even got a name badge here. Let's put that on there. Shear Jashub, if I just lift you up, everyone can see. We've got Shear Jashub here. He's got a big SJ on his brilliant big wave from Shear Jashub. Big wave to Shear Jashub. Brilliant. Well done. Thank you, Shear Jashub. Shear Jashub's name. Do you want to get back to mummy? Brilliant. Well done, my boy. Shear Jashub is Isaiah's son, and his name means a remnant will return, or possibly a remnant will repent. And the thing that his name teaches us is that God's plan is not going to change ever. So God has a plan that he promised hundreds of years before Isaiah, that one of King David's sons would rule on his throne forever. And it looks as if that promise at this point is in very great danger. So I'm going to get some little friends here, and we might pick it up at chapter 7, verse 1. This is Ahaz. I don't know if you can see Ahaz. Hello, Ahaz. Ahaz, son of Jotham, the son of Uzziah, was king of Judah. That's Jerusalem. That's God's people. King Rezin of Aram. We can have a bit of a boo if you want to for King Rezin of Aram in modern day Syria. And Pekah, son of Remaliah, king of Israel. That's the northern kingdom of God's people. They don't look very nice, do they? They're not very friendly, these two. They marched up to fight against Jerusalem, but they couldn't overpower it. Now, the house of David, that's Ahaz, was told Aram has allied itself with Ephraim. So the hearts of Ahaz and his people were shaken as the trees of the forest are shaken in the wind. So Ahaz is terrified because these two bad boys are out to get him. And God, Shear Jashub says, God is committed to his promises. So God sends Isaiah and Shear Jashub, verse 3, go out, you and your son, to meet Ahaz at the end of the aqueduct of the upper pool on the road to the launderer's field. Ahaz is preparing for Jerusalem to be besieged, and Jerusalem's a very secure city, but it's the water supply is vulnerable. That's why he's looking out there. I say to him, verse 4, be careful, keep calm, don't be afraid. Don't lose heart because of these two smoldering stubs of firewood, because of the fierce anger of Rezin and Aram and the son of Remaliah. Aram, Ephraim, and Remaliah's son have plotted your ruin, saying, let us invade Judah, let us tear it apart and divide it among ourselves and make the son of Tabeel king over it. Now, that is a pretty scary thing to hear. If you're the king, there are two people wanting to depose you. Yet this is what the sovereign Lord says. It won't take place. It won't happen, for the head of Aram is Damascus, and the head of Damascus is only Rezin. Within 65 years, Ephraim will be too shattered to be a people. The head of Ephraim is Samaria. The head of Samaria is only Remaliah's son. If you don't stand firm in your faith, you will not stand at all. Sorry, there we go. Can we see him there? What is he saying? He's saying these guys look monstrous, but they're only men. They're only people. So Isaiah is speaking in 734 BC. In 732 BC, Damascus is destroyed. The whole city, the whole country is wiped out. 722 BC, Israel is conquered and it's completely wiped off the map 65 years later. They are just people. But the implication is, Ahaz, your kingdom is different. You're the king over God's people. And God has made promises that he is absolutely committed to. So at the end of verse 9, we get this verse that is a summary of the whole of Isaiah. If you don't stand firm in your faith, you will not stand at all. It's the word amen. If you don't amen, you won't be amen. If you don't stand firm, if you don't affirm, you won't be affirmed. Or if you want to remember it, and I'd love us to remember this, if there's one thing we remember from this morning, it's this: trust or bust. Trust or bust. Ahaz, those are your only two options. You trust God or you will be bust. And the thing is, I don't know if you've noticed this, the Bible's promises come to us on audio. It's like we can hear them in the Bible, but our problems come to us on video. And Nikki knows if she tries to have a conversation with me when there's a screen on, there's no chance I'm going to hear a word of it. Video wins over audio every time. So God very generously says to Ahaz, ask the Lord your God for a sign, whether in the deepest depths or in the highest heights. And I don't know what kind of sign you might ask for. Ahaz could ask for the sun to be turned on and off in a particular pattern. He could ask for the sea to be turned into an ice cream fountain, anything he wants. And he says, verse 12, I won't ask. I won't put the Lord to the test. Which sounds very pious, doesn't it? But the reason is that Ahaz has already decided what he's going to do. In fact, he doesn't look kind of strong and heroic like that. He looks a little bit terrified. Ahaz has made up his mind. He's already got a plan. And if God gives him a sign, he might have to change his plan. A sign would be a big problem. So what Ahaz has done is he's decided to call in for help. He's decided to call in the king of Assyria, because what is Ahaz? Ahaz is a mouse in a fight with two other mice. Can we see that? So these two mice ganging up on Ahaz. What has Ahaz done to get help? He's called in a cat. That's what he's done. So he's in a fight against two mice. These guys may look a bit scary, but they're just mice like Ahaz. And he's called in a cat to help them. And Ahaz is saying there, look, Isaiah, this is the real world, baby. We've got to fight fire with fire. It's the only language these people understand. We need military muscle. No pie in the sky when you die about God coming to help. That's fine for church. That's fine for telling the kids. But this is the real world. We need something more. Now, I don't know about you, boys and girls and grown-ups, but it seems to me like Ahaz's problems are very different to mine. I whatever is on my desk tomorrow morning, I don't have to face down two invading armies. But it's basically the same kind of thing. So imagine Millie. So Millie has a mouse problem with the cool girl. Oh, thank you very much for that. See, Ben's just brought me a cat. That's quite a mean looking cat, isn't it? There's Assyria. That's what Assyria is. And that's who Ahaz has called for help. Thanks, Ben. Meet Millie. All right. So Millie has a mouse problem with the cool girls in her class at school. Because they really are quite mean. You are in or you are out. And if she's not with them, they will turn on her and shred her. And she's thinking about a cat solution, which is joining them, dressing like them, putting people down like them. And God's promises are coming to her on audio, but her problems are on video. And the question comes, Millie, is it trust or bust? Or Billy, and he's a Christian, and he's got a mouse problem with singleness and loneliness, and he doesn't like it. He hates being single, and he's delighted because amazingly there is a cat solution. There is this nice girl in his class who it seems is willing to go out with him, and she's not a Christian. And the promises are on audio. The problems are on video. Billy, will it be trust or bust? Bob has big finance. Bob has mouse problems, mouse shaped problems with his finances, and the family are struggling. And the cat comes along in the shape of a very, very well paying job that is going to mean countless hours on the road, no time for family, no time for church. Problems on audio, problems on video, promises are on audio. Bob, will it be trust or bust? Sandra has some really painful stuff in the past. Really, really horrible things have happened to her. And there is a cat-shaped bottle of alcohol that is offering to take away the problem for a little while, take away the pain for a bit. Trust or bust? And I guess all of us will have our own equivalents. It's worth thinking about it. Maybe it'd be an interesting chat in the breakout rooms afterwards. For me, I think I've just felt this last few weeks, the pressure as numbers around the country and churches are going down. I feel the pressure to just make our message a little bit nicer, a little bit more palatable, fit in a little bit better with the standards of the day, water things down and go quite a bit on gender, sexuality, the uniqueness of Jesus. Shia Jashub says to me, God's plan will stand. That's not up for debate. It's like the bus from Hanley is going to leave from outside Naughty But Nice tomorrow. It is going to leave. The question for Ahaz is he going to be on it? And what about you, me, Billy, Millie, Sandra, Bob? Will we trust or will we bust? And we'll think about what the options there are there when we meet another son in a few minutes.